Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to another edition of DIY Money.
DIY Money.
Welcome back, Logan.
Welcome back, Quint.
No, I'm just kidding. You've been on for a couple episodes. I don't know what to say there.
What's shaking?
Well, last time I was on, a couple episodes ago, we were talking about your story starting out in the business. You talked about being a broker and, you know, kind of doing that whole thing. So where did it go from there?
Yeah, left New York, came back down to Lexington. So there was a couple things involved in that. First of all, there was a girl. Her name is Brandy. She's now my wife. So I wanted to get back into the area. I also really, really enjoyed this area. Admittedly, I also had 2 classes remaining. So I basically left school without getting a degree. So if you really look at my diploma, it says 2001. And even though I came in 96, you do the math, it's like the 5-year plan. Ironically, I was on the 3-year plan. There was a side story there about a small business startup, tech funded. I mean, it was just, we thought we were going to go public and be worth billions. So why finish school? I mean, come on.
Naturally.
Exactly.
To all you graduates, as you go out into the world, my advice to you is don't go. It's rough out there. Move back with your parents. Let them worry about it.
So anyways, there was a lot of impetus to get back down, but the primary reason was I felt like I had established a really decent network and I could start building a business. And so I did. I came back down here, and again, I'm asked a lot by students or people that want to get into the business, you know, could they get into the business? What do you think? And I go, not the way I did. I mean, you'd have to go to a established firm. Like you're doing, right? You're now in 5 years in, you've with an established firm, you're building your own brand, your people know you. Okay. To do it, cold calling people, and now I come down, and now I'm that guy, right? I'm at every chamber event. I'm at every Oh, you're having a book club meeting? Can I talk about my investing book that I'm reading and how I manage money now? And I mean, I was everywhere and because I was starving. I had to build a business. Remember,
you all started it in the basement, right?
This is 2001. So it's just me. I got an office out here in Corporate Drive. Daniel likes to just say he started in the basement. He skips over the first 8 years of this, and it's okay. I give him that, but there's a lot of iteration between 2001 and 2009. Daniel joined me in 2009. So in 2001, I got an office in Corporate Drive, which is across the street from where we're looking at our next office building, and I got a break on the rent. Ron Schweitzer, corporate developer here in town, gave me a break on the rent, and I mean, it was month to month. Like, I was just scraping by trying to, you know, build a business, and my first goal was $10 million under management at 1%. That's $100,000, and when I could do that, I could definitely pay office rent. I could pay off my credit cards that I used to buy office furniture. I could pay someone to answer the phones, you know, part-time, come in and so forth. So I hired a wonderful gal. Her name was Cindy. She was fantastic. She worked for me for many years, and she did what other people in our office have done, and we started building the business.
Yep.
And then I was married in 2004, so 3 years later or 4 years later, I had about $20, $25 million under management at the time, building a decent business, and I decided to make a move to Florida and basically give all of that up and join a partner in a hedge fund with no salary, nothing, and basically go back to zero.
So he's crazy.
Are you insane?
Have you lost your...
That's an amazing story, too. But the reason I did it, Logan, was I'm 3 or 4 years in the business. I felt like I had been learning and knew a decent amount, but I didn't have a good enough handle on markets.
Yeah.
And I really felt like I was floundering, trying to figure things out on the fly, building the airplane as it flies, if what they say. And I was like, I can't do that. I needed a mentor. So I tried to get a job with Warren Buffett. I have that rejection letter sitting right there. I wanted to go work for him. He turned me down, unfortunately, but I framed the rejection letter. I thought that was great. And then I joined a gentleman who is a legendary stock trader. And my wife and I moved to Florida. and I was a co-general partner in a hedge fund that started with zero money under management.
Wow.
And it's a great story thereafter, what happened in those first couple of years.
We're going to have to pick that up at some point.
Another time.
That's good.
All right.
Housekeeping.
Housekeeping. This episode is sponsored by Jewel Financial, the iteration that we now are as a firm business, servicing over 650 families all over the United States, upwards of $400 million.
Slightly different than the Roots.
Slightly different than the Roots. But yes, it's a wonderful business. And we service folks like you. If you're out there listening and you're like, well, we're located in, you know, Saskatchewan, Canada. Well, we probably can't work with you in Canada. We're located in Washington State. Well, we have folks who we work with in Washington State, believe it or not. So if you have a unique situation or you're just at a stage of life and maybe you need a second opinion or some advising or maybe even considering it, just hit us up on our website, Jewel Financial. That's J-O-U-L-E financial.com. And you can learn more about our firm. All right. We got a good question today from Serene. What do you got?
D-I-Y.
Hi, my name is Serene, and I have been listening to your podcast for just a couple of weeks, and it is so accessible and tangible. I love your guys' ethos and the approach that you guys have. But my question is about the stock market. I am HR at an organization, and in conversation with one of our young employees about why she was abstaining from joining our company's 403b account, with matching, she told me that she was hesitant because the companies within the funds available were ones that she finds unethical or unsustainable and didn't want to invest in them because they contradict her values. And I think about this conversation a lot as a person who cares about ethical business and sustainability, but I haven't really thought about my financial investment into them. So I'm curious about your thoughts on this topic. Thanks.
First of all, Serene, thanks for listening, and thanks for being a new listener, and thanks for that great word, tenable. That was awesome. I had to look it up, tenable. You know what that means?
No.
Able to be maintained or defended against attack or objection.
That's a good word.
I'm going to use it. It's in my ethos now. That was another great word. That's part of my ethos.
What is ethos?
So welcome to the great paradox of investing. This is really a truly challenging subject matter. And it's even more challenging as we are in an environment that seems to, it's waned certainly lately, but it seems to have become much more aware of and conscious of social investing. Meaning, just as you said or your employee said, they want to make sure they're investing in areas that do not contradict or, better yet, are aligned with or correlated with their values, etc. And that seems to be a popular opinion. Those in the industry, myself, are... It's difficult to embrace that because for a variety of reasons. One is that for every optically, you know, socially acceptable business model, you could probably point to three or four or five or many other reasons why it's not. And so the greatest example, I think, is you would probably assume that Tesla is one of the most environmentally friendly companies on the planet, right? They're trying to reduce a carbon footprint by introducing electric vehicles. Well, there's a challenge with that. What is the challenge? Is the batteries utilize lithium, basically a tremendous amount of the semiconductors and computer chips in the car utilize cobalt. And these are historically minerals that are mined in very dangerous and sometimes unsanitary and inhumane ways. And so you can there's a counter argument. You can make a counter argument for almost every single company out there. And unfortunately, there's other companies that you could probably really struggle to make an argument against, like a Ben and Jerry's, and it's not public. Like, you can't buy it. So it's very, very hard. I've dealt with this a lot in my career when someone comes along and says, you know, I want to be investing in socially conscious, you know, investments. And so what I say to them is, okay, let's dialogue about that, because it's not a one-size-shoe-fits-all. It's not a blanketed thing. Even some of the most, you know, socially conscious mutual funds, and, you know, if you look through their holdings, you may have a person who says, well, I'm only going to buy this socially conscious mutual fund, and I'm just using this as an example, and they look in there, and they got Exxon and Chevron. And you go, well, no, wait a second. Well, I don't want to buy companies that are utilizing fossil fuels. Well, ironically, they both, and I'm using this facetiously, but I do think, I know Exxon actually, ironically, has a very high social scale or rating.
Their social score is, I'm looking at one right now, a rating scale of 6 out of 10. It's pretty high, which is a high on the social side. And then the environmental side is a little bit lower, but not much. It's a 5 out of 10.
So these are companies that could be inside of a fund like that, and then the person discovers this and they go, oh my goodness, I can't do this. So you have a couple options. All right, so the first option is just forget it, right? I'm gonna, and then the question is, well, do they then buy U.S. treasuries and they actually give money to the United States to, you know, fund their programs? Maybe the person isn't keen on military spending and
help.
I mean, so
you could get paralyzed by this.
Oh, you could tremendously get paralyzed. What I like to do is I like to say, okay, let's identify a couple of areas you don't want to be. We have some clients now that are in this camp, and they do not invest in energy companies.
Yep.
That's not their thing. So, you know, they're okay buying technology companies and they're okay buying these other companies, or, you know, now we are buying a lot of individual equities or sectors for them. So this individual in the 401k, they may have to get a little bit more specific. It might be a little more difficult for them within a 401k. But this is what we've been able to do. But the other area that we make sure people understand is that when you buy a company stock, you are not giving the company money.
Yes, that's already happened.
It's already happened. Now, you are inadvertently supporting the company, meaning you are providing a bid under the stock, and therefore you are creating some demand for the company stock, which is a good thing for the company. They use that to their advantage. So in a roundabout way, and I mean very roundabout way, you are somewhat supporting them. But the financing of a company has already taken place. That happened during an initial public offering. They got the money. You are an owner of that company. Now, again, it falls to reason that if somebody says, well, I'm not going to be invested in and own part of a company that I don't agree with, okay, that's no problem. But you can't, I think, just give up on it. I think you have to go down some rabbit holes and say, okay, if I'm going to be an investor and get anything on my money, what am I okay with and what am I not okay with?
Yeah.
And that's a personal choice. But be very clear with this person. And I don't mean to, you're not going to, you know, push back and, you know, overly, but you could say, look, if you have money in a bank, are you sure what that bank is supporting?
Yeah.
Are you aware of what that bank supports? Are you aware of where they give their donations? Are you aware? I mean, this is a rabbit hole. If you are going to be staunch on one side, you got to do it across the board, or, you know, and then where do you shop? I mean, you know, are you, you don't agree with buying into a technology company, but you own an Apple iPhone, or you drive I'm only going to buy American products. Everything you're wearing is from, I'm talking to this person, everything you're wearing is from China. Well, yeah, but I can't, I mean.
Make it stop.
I know. It's a rabbit hole. And I think the way I approach it, there is, like, I don't want to poo-poo this too much, because there is certain companies in some of the portfolios that you and I manage for our firm
that we will not buy. There's companies that are in certain areas of entertainment or different things that we will not buy, no matter how attractive they look, because we've picked that area that is not going to be something that we purchase. But at the same time, if you're in ETFs, you're in mutual funds where there's hundreds of companies that you're purchasing, you're buying the S&P 500, whatever it is, if you try to go through and parse through and figure out which companies you're not going to be a part of, it's going to be very, very difficult to own. What I like to do when I'm investing on my own is I try to pick the areas that I feel like are going to make the most money and then utilize that money to give. And give with the funds that you've made and give to organizations that you fully support and like their mission and what they're trying to do. So I think you can counteract some of the areas of, okay, I probably can't avoid everything that's socially bad. I can't avoid everything that has an environmental impact. But I can invest appropriately based on my goals and decisions, and then I can give money that I make to organizations that I want to support that have great missions over time.
So you take the Robin Hood approach.
Yes.
Steal from the rich and give to the poor.
Exactly. There you go.
Yeah, again, it's very difficult, and I just think that this person, you know, they're making a decision that they're comfortable with, and okay, that's, you know, if you want to challenge them, I think then you have to challenge them in other areas that they, you know, again, we all know those people. They like, they're hell-bent on one thing, and then you go, but what about this? And it's like, well, I'm not worried about that. And you're like, okay, that doesn't make much sense. Right. But that's that person, right? I mean, we let that person be. But I think it'd be a shame if you ended the investing career of someone at a young age just because they said, well, it's just not what I believe in. I'm not going to do it. And again, I don't see that much on the social side. I see that more on the quote gambling or casino side. And I try sometimes when someone has that approach of, well, it's just a casino. I mean, it's just the fat cats on Wall Street. And then I try to go, no, I try to really educate them that you have the opportunity to own a business that's working while you're sleeping and trying to make money while you're doing something else. Right. That's the beauty of investing in companies that are large, that you use, that everybody knows today. Good luck with that, though, Serene. That's a difficult task and a difficult a process you're going to go through. But I appreciate what you're doing. I mean, as an HR person, to send in a question about this for an employee, that really means you care. You're probably excellent at what you do. So bravo. And again, education is power. So more education you can gather, the better off I think this person and you will be. So hopefully you found some value in that. We'll send you a $25 Amazon gift card. Keep the questions coming. Send them to podcast@diymoney.org. That's podcast@diymoney.org. And remember, the secret to wealth is pretty simple. Live on less than you make. Invest the rest and do so for a very long time. Make it a great one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want your question aired on the show, be sure to send that to us and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.